Oh, good morning, West Texans. All you good, fine, friendly folks out there who wish you were. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. We're taking you till 1 o'clock here in the Arctic Air Studios. Hanging out with you folks in San Angelo on ESPN 960 in Lubbock. It's Talk 103.9 FM, News, Money, Sports. And wherever you may call home, listening on the app that I have no doubt you've downloaded from KKM.com already. You could be checking in right now. 806-855-3712. Every Monday we find out what you believe to be true to start the week. You can't be all willy-nilly running around not believing in something. Also, we hand out those coveted Raiderland helmet stickers. Who's going to get yours this week? A lot of tech baseball, a lot of Masters, some MLB as the Pac-12 burns this week. And an interesting story over the weekend on how little Oklahoma State spends on football recruiting compared to every other Power 5 school. Yes, that little. All right, 806-855-3712 for you to be a part of it. As I said, download the app, kkm.com. Listen anywhere and everywhere. Turn on the notifications so you know what you need to be notified about because you don't know it. Then follow the station on Twitter at Talk1039. Me, I'm just Ryan Hyatt, at Ryan Hyatt Media on Twitter. The show never ends. We come back in the evening with the daily broadcast, usually around 6:30-ish, recapping the day's events. It's fun. It's on Twitter Live, highly interactive. And then check out my website, Ryan, TheRaiderland.com, Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, TheRaiderland.com. And you can get our weekly columns and other broadcasts and original content that we have there at TheRaiderland.com. He's Rob Bro. He's man of the people. He pulses the people. He's king ahead of the day. He is a third of the gambling gauchos. And he is the singular and only host of the Rob Bro Show from 1 to 2 on Talk 103.9.
It's all true.
It's all true. It's all factual. Happy Monday to you and lovely XFL Guardians cap today.
Thank you.
Which means that's always feisty, Rob. I think when you get a an XFL cap, it is fait accompli. You and your family have a pleasant Easter weekend, Easter Sunday.
It was nice.
Where was the gathering for y'all? We gathered with my mom and my cousin in town.
No cousins, but same.
Yeah, and then you did get to see a little rain and unfortunately a little bit of the hail that fell. How big would you describe it?
The hail,
or the meal?
The hail was small, but there was a bunch of it.
Yeah. You ever wonder what how they described hell before the invention of, you know, like dimes and quarters and nickel or softball? What did they, you know, what is that cowship size hell that the Comanches were reporting in Yellow
House?
You know, what a corn cob sized hell that we had to do before that. Or as David Letterman once said, hell the size of canned hams when he was doing weather in Indianapolis. We quite didn't have that, but that's a good thing. So we got a lot of stuff to get to. I'm going to throw out the question of the day, and then we'll start getting to tech baseball, which is a really critical time right now for Red Raider baseball. Then lots of thoughts, Masters, and plenty of people to get helmet stickers today. 806-855-3712. So we're watching late in the round when the leaders are there waiting on 16. Because Patrick Cantlay is slower than molasses, and everybody hates him right now, particularly Brooks Koepka. And I don't know if you were watching in real time. I know you became aware that, hey, they had this tight shot, and there's this guy standing right behind him in a Texas Tech cap, a beautiful black Texas Tech cap.
Bomb squad hat.
And I couldn't zoom in that close, didn't have time. I even remarked to my wife, I said, wow, check that out. That is really, you know, that's really cool. So Gambling Gauchos, I believe, one of the first out there to have the screen cap up. Well, immediately it's like, okay, who's the guy in the cap? And then all of a sudden, the focus also began to turn to the attractive young woman who was shown several times. And then that exploded. And we come to find out it is a Texas Tech Palm Squad member, Aliyah Kikumoto there at the Masters. Rob, she has gone viral. National, Outkick.com, you name it. Already was probably moderately famous, now very famous. And it gives us our question of the day in honor of Aliyah and her probably more than 15 minutes of fame. Give us your favorite non-sports tech alum or celebs. This could be kind of a power ranking. This could be your top three. This could be your favorite ones. They've got to be moderately famous in their field. I say moderately. People need to know about them. And they're non-Texas Tech sports figures. So we can't go, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Donnie Anderson. Did I see that right? Donnie Anderson, grandson on campus?
Yes, quarterback.
private school out of the Metroplex, I think?
I think so.
Yeah. You could do worse than signing the grandson of the Golden Palomino. I have no idea if the young man has a nickname, but anyways. So, yeah, non-sports, Texas Tech alums, celebrities, who's topping your list on that? And that became, at some point in the late 80s or early 90s, Rob, they used to do these things called media guides for all the sports. And they would actually, they were about the size of a big magazine, some of them. Some of them were small. And they actually had stuff in there for the media. In the late 90s, early 2000s, they became recruiting guides. And you could get a media supplement if you wanted. Point being, though, back in the day, it suddenly became very fashionable for all the schools to put their most famous alums in the media guide. And you'd have a page or two, you know, of actors and actresses and musicians and different people. Because, you know, it was coming down for this really good running back. And he's sitting there, he's looking at Tech, he's sitting there, he's looking at Oklahoma State, maybe taking a look at Louisiana Tech. And he's like, well, who are the famous people that graduated there? Hold on. John Denver went to Texas Tech? That seals the deal. I'm in. How many yards did he rush for? He didn't. But I'm in. So that it became very fashionable to do that. I don't even know if they still do that in the recruiting guides that they put out there with the occasional media information tucked in there somewhere. So your favorite non-sports Texas Tech alums and celebs, who you got for us today? 806-855-3712 for you guys to join in on the text line. I want your helmet stickers today. Who's going to get yours? And then obviously, what do you believe to be true to start the week? Rob, I believe to start the week that what happened Friday night and what will happen here today and tomorrow could end up having an incredibly profound impact on this Texas Tech baseball season. And potentially in a good way, potentially in a not very good way. Now, I don't, we haven't really had a chance to visit since Friday night and Texas Tech losing to North Dakota State. The game was a crippler for your RPI. You came in 52. You'll start the week 68 RPI, to which I say, yes, Texas Tech is 21st ranked in D1Baseball.com, and it does not matter a whit. You had your mulligan when you lost to New Mexico. This was a much worse loss. Yeah, you came back and won Saturday two games. Had to win those two games. And the irony of the weekend, I suppose, Rob, is where Tim Tadlock gets his 400th career win and 401st career win. He may have suffered his worst loss since maybe his first year. And I take out 2013, and let's say since 2014, that, quite frankly, may be one of the worst losses that Texas Tech has suffered. North Dakota State was 288th in the RPI. You now have two bad losses that teams that I'm not even entertaining the conversation. I think it's irresponsible right now to have the conversation about Texas Tech hosting a regional. Let's stop thinking about that, and let's start talking about trying to hang on to the 2-3 line right now. Because I think that conversation is 88 and out the gate. You've lost to an over 100 RPI. You've lost to an over 200. They don't get any higher than that for the most part. Maybe the worst loss. So what we were looking at, in my opinion, going to Stanford is not luxury wins, but something that if you could split, yeah, they'd be all right. You know, Stanford will start the day 8th ranked with a 14 RPI, 10-2 in the Pac-12. But I don't know if you agree with me, Rob, but if there's any shot at a 2-line, I think Texas Tech has to sweep Stanford. Because the Big 12's not lining up right now this year to give you the bump, the inertia, whatever. Big 12's not going to have a national seed, I don't believe, at this point. So that's what I believe on a Monday to start it off. That's how important these two games are. And if Texas Tech gets swept at Stanford, we're definitely talking about just trying to hang on to the 3-line, and we may be talking about a team trying to make the NCAA tournament.
That seems a little aggressive.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm there yet, but
I mean, the numbers don't lie. I can't sit there and tell people about the RPI every year when it's good, when it's trending right, when it is the justification for your seed line, and then come back and say, oh, no, it doesn't matter now. It matters. And there's just not enough Big 12 inertia this year for me to say they can get it back in Big 12 play.
Yeah, but they're not going to miss the tournament if they lose to Stanford. They'll miss the tournament if they lose a bunch more Big 12 games.
Well, we were already sitting here talking about this team, you know, having to go something like 12-3. With each passing day, I'm having a hard time seeing how that's going to happen, how this particular team is going to get there. Plus, you lose Owen Washburn this week. We hadn't even talked about that, the dislocated elbow. Just one more injury. Things are trending, I fear, in the wrong way. Just looking at the reality of the situation right now. But again, you've got great opportunity tonight and tomorrow. We do not know a starting pitcher for either game as of right now. And that's where, you know, bad luck or not, the quirkiness of the scheduling for the last couple of weeks, I think, has affected this team a little bit. You don't get to play the midweek game. Then you've got the weird Friday-Saturday doubleheader. Thank goodness you had yesterday to travel.
You've been really bad twice after missing midweeks.
Yeah. That it's, I don't know. And maybe I'm just in radio guy hyperbole right now, but I don't feel like I am. You can make the counter argument as we go through today, but that's what I believe to start the week, that Texas Tech baseball is not on really good ground right now with the 68 RPI. We will get to your text messages. We'll take the first break. All right, time to jam up the text line. Am I right? Am I wrong? Am I somewhere in between? Raiderland helmet stickers today. Who's going to get yours? We do have a Red Raider who's going to get one. And then question of the day, your favorite non-sports Tech alums and celebrity. We got all that. We got the Masters to look at. The number two in command in the Pac-12 found themselves another job, and it had nothing to do with sports. 806-855-3712. Jam up the text line. Quick break. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. It's 11:20. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro taking you through a Monday. Who gets your Raiderland helmet stickers this week, sports or otherwise? Who deserves some recognition? What do you believe to start the week? A lot of Texas Tech baseball to look at. Masters recap. And the Rangers win yesterday. Favorite Tech non-sports alums, celebrities. Not really a power ranking, but could be today. Who gets your nod as some of the top ones all time in honor of Texas Tech cheerleader Aaliyah Kikumoto, getting Masters famous there yesterday. Thank you, Slow Play, out of all the things that happened. That's how she ended up getting featured on the broadcast there in the background. 806-855-3712. Texter on the text line, which is where the cool texters are. By the way, use the 806 or it goes to the angry man in Florida, 855-3712. Says it's a three-way tie. Corey Morrow, Wade Bowen, and Josh Abbott for their three favorite non-sports Tech alum celebrities. Thank you for getting Corey Morrow in there. Also, our man Doughboy is checking in. Guns Up Trucking, shout out, the resident trucker in Raiderland. Headed to Rob's second home of Houston. Good luck to the boys at Stanford. I was thinking earlier today, Rob, Texas Tech and Stanford need to play every year in baseball.
I agree.
That this to me is a really good series. It's always going to be a meaningful series. It's meaningful for different reasons, but that they've only played one time in the regular season there at Frisco a couple of years ago, you know, kind of shocked me that all the other meetings have been in postseason play. And if anybody owes them a little something, it's Texas Tech from 2 years ago there in the NCAA tournament. But you get, I mean, this could turn into like a traveling trophy type deal, Rob. You could call it the culture clash. You know, the West Texas meets the whatever. Because, I mean, they are two just totally different campuses and cultures and worldview. I think this could work out pretty well. I don't know what the trophy would look like. I don't know what we would do. They're hard to work with because their mascot is basically a color and or a dancing tree of some sort. But the idea that these two teams haven't played much in the regular season, and I know that part of the problem is the travel issues and going. It's a long trip out there to do that. And Tech's doing it right. If you're going to go all that way, play two.
Yeah.
You got to play two games. Which, for those wondering, Tonight is on the Pac-12 Network, which I don't believe I have that on DirecTV. And I'm not sure what your options are on other services of watching that game at 8. Tomorrow is on Pac-12 Insider, and I think you can access that through a live stream. I think that's your option tomorrow at the 4 o'clock start. But again, I'm not really... This is why the Pac-12 is imploding, because all of these things, nobody has any ability to watch any of these games. You would think this would be a fairly high-profile midweek series. I don't know what else they got going on this week out of the Pac-12, but you would think this would be fairly high-profile and they'd want to do something with it.
Yeah, I'll be trying to find, like, streamypac.org or something.
It's it's the Pac-12. It's what we've come to expect. There were good things over the weekend, Tech baseball. It's not all bad. It's just a bad loss. Can we give a helmet sticker out to Zach Vuletich? Have yourself a day on Saturday.
I think Zach Vuletich should be the starting second baseman and Austin Greach should DH.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that right now.
I mean, Austin Greach's leading the team in errors, so it's not like Vuletich is going to be worse.
Nope.
And then you get two bats in there.
And Green was sidelined for an undisclosed. I guess he's just sick. Sometimes guys get sick. I don't know.
Yeah, hey.
But
hey,
he's expected to be back today.
Mental rest.
What? Either way.
Whatever it was.
Or just say you benched a guy because he was making too many errors and you wanted him to sit down for a day and take a look from the dugout. And, you know, we don't have to hem and haw and worry about stuff. Come on, we're all adults here. Yeah, I'm with you right there. Vuletich, 4 of 6, home run, 3 RBI on the day, making routine plays. Now what do you do with your outfield? The Washburn injury looks like it's going to be significant and going to take time. I don't know if he's going to be back this year, quite frankly.
It's better than I thought. Now, it's bad, right? The dislocated elbow is not good.
Yeah.
But that's better than snapping your arm.
No, because when they brought out the air cast.
Yeah, I thought we were going to have a compound or
that's
something.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That was why that they had brought the air cast out, is that... That we, you know, like you said, it's compound and
it's
and
rare.
Done.
It's rare when you see an air cast or a dislocation and feel like that's good news.
I've never seen an air cast on a baseball field. Huh. I mean, brought out to an injured player on a field. I've never seen that in a baseball game. Unfortunately, we've seen it more than our share of times in football and different things, but that was the first time I'd ever seen it. But at least you do have some options. And you're getting a little closer to the Dylan Carter window. May?
I mean, it's either Jarrett in center or Bravo in right, and then Harrelson plays the other.
Yeah.
I mean, you're down to that.
And I don't have a problem with Bravo being in right.
Right.
And that doesn't really – I don't think
– Or Woodcox.
Yeah.
Just let him – hadn't been able to find a bat at DH, but – You got to put somebody out there.
Yeah, and I don't think putting Bravo out there really is going to compromise and hurt any of the ability to utilize him on the mound. So you feel like you got some options. It's going to be an interesting lineup tonight, though, when we see what Tim Tadlock ends up writing down later on this afternoon there in Palo Alto at Sunken Diamond. As far as the starter, yeah, your guess is kind of as good as mine. We saw what... Did we see Erdman Saturday? I don't have the box in front of me. Did Erdman come in briefly on Saturday?
He warmed.
I can't remember
if he ever came in.
We did not see Petty Saturday, if I remember correctly, that I'm kind of assuming at this point, which is probably dangerous, that it would be Zane Petty maybe getting the ball tonight. They are going with a guy who has no record. And has a 9.31 ERA in Nick Duggan or Dugan of the Fighting Duggins and the Fighting Dugans. So a lot of stuff here. Doughboy says, but they won the series. That's what counts. Well, no, not really. Not all series are created equal, and not all losses are created equal. Winning Big 12 series is fine. Go 2-3 in every Big 12 series, you're great. Going 2-1 against a team that barely got here, that is a 288 RPI, that literally running on fumes, was playing in their 28th, 29th, and 30th straight road games. You just can't lose to those people. It's not the unwritten rule in college baseball. It's the written rule in college baseball that you get one of those maybe a year, and you had your loss against New Mexico. Now, I'll be intrigued to see, just by playing Stanford, if that moves the RPI 5, 6, 7 points just by playing. Even if you lose tonight, you could go up slightly just by playing the 14 RPI. But now the losses become problematic. You got to win some games. You just have to. And it's a trip to Oklahoma this weekend. So, again, the scheduling vagaries just really are frustrating to me. That if this were a normal midweek situation, even going Monday, Tuesday with a quick turnaround, you would feel like you could get through with some of your second line, third line tier guys and bash your way around. This is as tough as any conference series you're going to play this year. Now you're hoping that their midweek guys are a big drop down from their weekend guys. You're going to find out tonight. Late night with the Red Raiders and the Cardinals. Give us your favorite non-sports Texas Tech alums and celebrities. Who makes your list? What do you believe to be true this week? We got more helmet stickers to hand out. We can talk baseball. We can talk the Masters. We can visit with you about anything on your mind. 806-855-3712. Quick timeout. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Brough.
Point nine. Do it.
It's 11:35. We're just getting rolling on a Monday here in the Arctic Air Studios. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Brough. Got you till 1 o'clock, ESPN 960 San Angelo. And in the Hubaplex, Talk 103.9 FM News, Money, Sports. Question of the day, your favorite non-sports Texas Tech alums, celebrities. You can power rank, you can give your top five, you can give your top three, whatever you want to do on that. What do you believe to be true to start the week? This is Sports or Otherwise. And then also, Raiderland helmet stickers being handed out today. Who deserves a little recognition for either doing something good or just deserves a little recognition, sports or otherwise? 806-855-3712 for you to join the program today. Remember, the Rob Brough Show comes your way from 1 to 2 here on Talk 103.9 FM. Texas Tech baseball going 2-1 over the weekend against North Dakota State. They're at Stanford tonight. We're looking at that, the Battle of the Culture Clash. And then it's the Masters giving us all-day golf, but unfortunately the last two, almost 3 hours of the all-day golf was pretty much anticlimactic as Koepka backed up and Rahm just stiff-armed him down the stretch to get the green jacket. So many, many things to discuss today. We look forward to hearing from you guys. 806-855-3712. Texter on the best non-sports alums, Rob, going with Wyman Meisner, Pat Green, Josh Abbott. That's Monty chiming in. Doughboy again. There's just something different about the Masters. It's not just a regular major. I knew Brooks was going to choke. My son asked me who was going to win Friday. Told him Rahm was. Told him Brooks was to choke. He'll choke. I hope you made money. Of course, by then, you know what he? You know what Rahm did for the first time since Sam Snead playing back in the whenever in the 40s or 50s? He won the tournament after double bogeying the first hole. And then he had to play through all the horrible weather. He was on the wrong side of that. Koepka was on the right side of that all the way up until the weekend. And it kind of kept him there. But, yeah, John Rahm going to get a not just a green jacket, but a Raiderland helmet sticker, I think, for his performance. And also, the mature John Rahm is going to be a problem for everybody on the tour now. The mature John Rahm, the master of his emotions John Rahm, I mean, we can go back, what, 4 or 5 years ago when he's first coming out of Arizona State. Everybody knew the talent was there. Everybody knew this guy was just a monster talent. But you always knew there was going to be one or two holes Saturday and Sunday where he was going to lose his cool. He was going to lose his focus. And that was going to be that. And he'd end up, you know, missing out by 5, 6, 7 strokes or whatever. Not this guy. This John Rahm is centered. What are the odds that his kid's name, the oldest son, would be named Koepka? Spelled different, but it's actually Koepka.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I think that was the blonde-headed boy. I think that's his name. What were the odds on that? But I give him one. Can we give a Raiderland helmet sticker to Phil Mickelson? The oldest guy to finish in the top five ever at the Masters. Not that anybody would have known that, because I tried not to be too hyper-analytical of this, because everybody else on social media and everybody else within the golf world was looking at this whole LIV Tour guys versus PGA Tour guys. And how are the LIV Tour guys going to do? And can they handle playing in the pressure of a major after, you know, playing at the, you know, whatever, you know, Adelaide Open, or I think that's 2 weeks from now. You know, could they handle it? But I'm telling you, Freddie Couples, they were all over Freddie Couples on Friday, Saturday, with him being the oldest guy to ever make the cut. That was a huge story on the broadcast. Mickelson was pretty much an afterthought yesterday, and I am really trying hard not to chalk it up to CBS and the Masters not wanting to highlight not just a LIV golfer, but maybe the LIV golfer.
Oh, 100%.
But it was there. It was just, it was, to me, it was patently obvious that he got shadow banned in the coverage yesterday.
Did you hear, not shadow banned, just banned. Did you hear Jim Nance's snipe at, who was it, Koepka walking down the crosswalk? Says, here he is on the CW, the crosswalk.
Oh, man. That's Jim Nance pettiness right there.
Yeah.
But all of this reeks of pettiness to me.
Oh, yeah.
I just, I mean, if you don't want them there, don't have them there. But if you're going to let them there, if you're going to allow them to be there, talking about the LIV golfers, cover them. Make them part of the story. I don't know. I kept trying to really not look through it through those lenses. But as the afternoon went on Sunday, any other time, Mickelson is as big a story because of what was going on there with the leaders, because there was no shot. There was no story. It's Rahm just, you know, grinding out safe shot after safe shot. There's no drama. Yet we would have had Ken Phil Mickelson at 53 or 54 years of age, 53, whatever he is, you know, become the oldest man to finish in the top five. This ranks up there with some of the great performances we've seen from former past champions, that on a day where the conditions have been brutal all weekend, here he is, Phil Mickelson.
And his contemporary Tiger is, you know, withdrawing.
Yeah.
If Koepka had put up any fight, it would have been a great finish.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, it was just...
You know, the last 2.5 hours were, you know, there just wasn't anything to pay attention to on that front. But I think it was I think it's just incredibly petty the way it seemed to be handled by CBS on that front regarding Phil Mickelson. If you don't want him there, don't let him play.
Which I understand from the PGA, but I really don't understand from CBS.
No.
Because they're, I don't know. It feels like you could have pulled in more eyeballs if you'd have focused on it.
Well, and again, I go back to CBS will bend over backwards to cater to Augusta National. Augusta National gets whatever they want on that broadcast. You don't want a certain bird sound, you don't want a certain bird sound. You want a certain bird sound, you're going to get it. You all this and that. It was Augusta National that agreed to allow the LIV golfers to play the tournament. That alone should have been enough, I believe, for CBS to say it's okay for them to be a part of the coverage and be a part of the storyline. And I don't know if Phil is just so hated right now. But even villains make for good storylines.
Yeah.
Even villains make, I mean, the rivalry. I'm not trying to compare this to the AFL versus the NFL in the 60s and the late 60s and say that there's some sort of like merger or something. That's not what I'm saying. But villains make for good storylines, and we couldn't even get that yesterday. And I know a lot of people hate Phil Mickelson. I get that. I understand that. But it's still a compelling part of the story. I guess if you give an anti-helmet sticker out, we could give one out on that. Do we give the Dallas Mavericks and Mark Cuban a helmet sticker for the ultimate tank job and we don't care investigate us all you want. We did it. We were going to make sure we did it, and we don't care. The wailing and the gnashing of teeth regarding what they did on Friday, I'm like, what did you expect? And there's a reason for it, because they have a protected pick if they finish where they are.
Terrible.
They have a protected pick, and they absolutely throw the game. And everything that the NBA put into this finishing, the bracketing and stuff that they do, was designed against this, and Mark Cuban said, we don't care. So the NBA says they're going to investigate. What are they going to do? The only thing they can do is take away the pick that the Mavericks were trying to keep and protect with the finishing spot.
Right.
By the way, if you're Luka Doncic, do you want to have anything to do with this franchise going forward?
What other franchises are out there that are better?
Is anybody different in the NBA?
They're all the same.
You know, would everybody else have done that? Are the Mavericks just the poster board for? I just applaud the brashness. I mean, they didn't even fake it.
No.
They didn't even try to make it look like.
Also, Luka could have played.
Yeah.
He set out.
I can't remember. What do you have, 9 or 16 minutes? I can't remember now.
He played a quarter.
Okay.
He could have played.
He could have demanded to play.
All of those players could have demanded it. It's not, they don't have to sit out.
Yeah. I like the load management the other day for the team that wasn't going to make the playoffs. That was still pretty good, too. The NBA, their own worst enemy. But I'm going to give them a Cuban tank job. I'm going to give them a helmet sticker for that. And then also one for yesterday's Minnesota Timberwolves. The Rudy Gobert fight, and then you lose a guy who punches a wall and probably breaks his hand and is now done. Thank you, Minnesota Timberwolves, for giving us something to pay attention to. It's the NBA. It's just all negative all the time. 806-855-3712 if you want to join the conversation today. Real easy to do on a Monday. We're asking you today your favorite non-sports Texas Tech alums and celebrities. Favorite non-sports ones that make your list. 806-855-3712. Texter, Barry Corbin, great actor. Rick Husband, rest his soul, great astronaut American. And can't figure out Tech baseball. Are they relevant, or is this just a grand illusion? Thank you for the Styx reference. They are who they are up until this point. And I reserve the right to reevaluate them in 2 weeks, and then May 10th, and then hopefully going into the NCAA tournament. But who they are right now is just a good team, a very talented, very young team, a team that has seen injuries pile up, and a team that's suffered some bad breaks and some bad losses. When do I not get to stop talking about the Beckles suspension and the impact on this season and this team early on in Big 12 play?
Talk about it as long as you want.
When does that no longer hold any merit as to what's going on now? Because I still think it is affecting this team now because of the losses it gave them then. That you would have been playing on some house money, potentially, if you'd won one or two of those games against Texas. You might be feeling different about yourself. I don't know. I'm just going to file that one away for a long time regarding Holiday and Oklahoma State. I still think, though, that set a trend. Texter, favorite alumnus is General Charles Brown, the current chief of staff of the United States Air Force's Detachment 820 ROTC graduate, and is the first African-American to be appointed chief of staff, the first African-American to lead any branch of the United States Armed Forces. Not my favorites, but Scott Pelley, 60 Minutes, and John Hinckley, Jr., also making the list on notable alums. Why in the hell would you celebrate a general and then throw those two idiots out there on the back end? Because the question is your favorite. Please tell me you're not saying Pelley and Hinckley Jr. are your favorites.
Well, he said not my favorites. Yeah. He's notable.
Okay, well, I wouldn't even bring him up.
Oh, too late.
Yeah. It demeans General Brown to be associated with those two individuals in the same sentence, I believe. Favorite non-sports Texas Tech alum celebrities. Get some Raiderland helmet stickers going for us here as we cruise into the final segment of hour number one of two. And then every Monday you tell us what you believe to be true to start the week. It's real simple. Text line 806-855-3712. That's 855-3712. We got you till 1 o'clock today, then it's the Rob Bro Show. It's a quick break. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
An update on Talk 1340. The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSIN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
The NBA playoffs begin next week. The Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo are the betting favorite to claim the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Milwaukee plus 240 to win it all, while the Boston Celtics right behind them in the Eastern Conference. Last year's NBA Finals participant plus 360. The Phoenix Suns, who recently acquired Kevin Durant back in early February, plus 500 to win the title. The best betting team out of the Western Conference. Philadelphia with Joel Embiid plus 850. The Denver Nuggets, who are on top of the Western Conference standings, plus 950. Golden State, also plus 950. With your VSiN Action Update, I'm Tony Desiri, Sports Radio 1340, The Fan.
Final segment, hour number one of two. Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Got you till 1 o'clock in the Arctic Air Studios, and it is the Rob Bro Show from 1 to 2 on Talk 103.9 FM News Money Sports. Text in 806-855-3712. Favorite non-sports Texas Tech alums or celebrities. We'll also ask you every Monday, tell us what you believe to be true to start the week. We got helmet stickers. We got Texas Tech baseball. We can discuss the Masters. Even the Texas Rangers giving us a little something on Easter Sunday. 806-855-3712. Doughboy, I believe, on the helmet stickers for Mac McClung. Beats Culver in the G League for championship. Tosses up 20 points in 9 boards last night. Did you get a chance to watch any of that series between those two? I did not.
No, it was on ESPN. It was on some ESPN channels I don't have.
Okay. And mine just between baseball and golf and everything else, I was like, oh, I think there was something I forgot to watch. So I did not get to take it in. It sounds like McClung obviously playing well enough to get himself a helmet sticker there on the weekend. Pretty cool that they both ended up in that.
The stats you just read were from the 76ers game. He got called up after the G League championship.
After the G League championship?
Yeah, and then he played in the NBA in 2010. Yeah.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing what happens when you actually give him a shot in the NBA. He can play.
Surely he's on a roster next year.
Surely. Like, from day one. Leads his team to a G League championship. I don't understand why he's not getting a shot.
It can't be defense.
Won the dunk contest.
Well, 76ers, moderately dysfunctional, but good for him. It's sort of like the old September call-up in baseball.
Yeah, but the Golden State Warriors had a shot. The Lakers had a shot. Literally anybody, when you're on the G League, I don't think he had a two-way contract until late this year, can sign you. I think right around the dunk contest, they signed him to a two-way. Like, the G League's not minor league baseball.
Yeah, we're attached completely.
Yeah, anybody could have gotten him up.
I mean, if nothing else, I would think the guy could be a fan favorite. Aren't they still kind of interested in selling tickets and having guys that the fans seem to like and dig? And, hey, he's exciting, he comes in. And, I don't know.
Allegedly.
Texter on famous Texas Tech alums, celebrities, non-sports related. Pat Green, because I used one of his songs for the first dance at my wedding, and Cleto Cordero of Flatland Cavalry for using one of the last dance.
They were here this weekend.
They were. My son took in the show. So it was really good. He was bitter, though. I tried to explain to him why this happens, but so he's a miner. I mean, right. He doesn't work in a coal mine or anything. He's just...
Oh, he got X's on his hands?
Yeah, well, that, but you have to pay a little extra.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, it's because what you guys don't do.
Right.
Which, a lot of the money that is generated by what you're not going to be doing. So there you go.
I could have bought a Coca-Cola and a chicken fried steak sandwich or something.
Yeah. Raiderlands Realtor, shout out Kyle Rogers, Remax says, howdy, fellas, sign me up for the pettiness. Those live guys deserve absolutely nothing. So glad Koepka didn't win. Tech alums Mark Lanier, he's a lawyer, shout out Coronado Mustangs, Glenn Goodacre, great sculptor, and Pat Green. Well, then Kyle, why were they there? If we're going to have this separation and divorce, then don't let them play. If they play, they deserve to win. If they play good enough to win, they deserve to win. I don't get that they don't deserve to win. If Phil Mickelson's going to be in the tournament, show him. I guess he hates Mito Pereira too now. Former Red Raider, dead to him. He made SportsCenter top 10.
Sixth.
The Eagle.
Great shot.
My gosh, he backed that thing up from a million miles. That was just silly. Texter, can the gambling gaucho explain how they have Tech ranked second in their Big 12 power rankings? I sure don't get it.
They won series against Oklahoma State and TCU.
There you go. You have explained it.
Who do you want second? Kansas?
The streaking Jayhawks? They were getting a little feisty on social media, their social media this weekend.
Yeah.
You know? Can you see us now? Hey, don't insult the alligator till you've crossed the river, Kansas.
Kansas football went 6-0 and were on college game day.
Yeah.
They finished 6-6.
Yes, they did. They should just be humble. Greens and fairways. Be humble. Greens and fairways. Texter, just saw a map of CW stations. There are only about 10 of them in the Pac-12 area and just a few in the coveted Southern California. Period. Morons. Have they moved past the CW now? That was so last week. I think, what are we on to now? Twitch?
They might as well.
Twitch Game of the Week? Brought to you by In-N-Out Burger or something like that. The deputy commissioner of the Pac-12 announced their resignation today, going into private enterprise or private business, not going anywhere else. Shocking. How'd you like to have that on your resume? Since you were with the Pac-12 office for the last however many years that this person was. People are like, rats leaving a sinking ship. I'm like, nope, smart person getting a job. Deputy commissioner. Should have been a deputy. This always sounds like a good title to have. Deputy something or another. Top of the hour break. It is a quick one. Raiderland Helmet Sticker Day. Who are you going to give your stickers to? Tech baseball at Stanford. Huge series tonight, tomorrow. And your favorite non-tech sports alums and celebs. Who you got? 806-855-3712. It's a quick timeout, top of the hour. We're right back with you. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, a presentation of the Texas Town Square Media Network.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland.
Barbecue, huh? How do you like your ribs?
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Congrats to us. We have somehow amazingly done it again. The streak continues. We've turned morning into afternoon with you fine folks here in the Arctic Air Studios. A lot of help from you guys listening in San Angelo on ESPN 960. Talk 103.9 FM. News Money Sports in Lubbock. I just don't know how long this streak can last. It's really improbable at this point that it has gone on as long as it has. It's Monday. You tell us what you believe to be true to start the week. Also, Raiderland helmet stickers need to be handed out, sports or otherwise. Who deserves a little recognition? Who deserves a little recognition in your world on that? The question of the day, favorite non-sports tech alum celebrity. You have a new one today with tech cheerleader Aaliyah Kikumoto, who was standing there with her dad, T-Box 16, and the long delays allowed, first off, the double T-cap to get on. And then people began to notice her. I wonder why. I can't imagine why. And she has, in the last, 18 hours, become a viral celebrity sensation across the internet. When you get your own story, when you're not in screen caps with Joe Kinsey, but you get your own story, Outkick.com, next level. Congratulations. But what a great, what great marketing and branding for the Double T. That there ain't nothing better than a lot of times just good old-fashioned organic, having somebody wearing your gear, right place, right time. Having that Double T out there. So in honor of that, your favorite non-sports Texas Tech celebrities, alums, however you want to phrase it. Tech baseball on your mind, we can discuss that. Big outing tonight against Stanford. Be prepared to stay up late. That will be an 8 o'clock first pitch our time tomorrow. I want to make sure I get this right. I believe it's 4 o'clock our time. Indeed, 4 o'clock central time on that one. So hopefully the game will move at a moderately decent clip. Tech will start the day 68 on the RPI. 21st D1 baseball in the rankings, for what that's worth. Eighth-ranked Stanford is 14 in the RPI. So you got a chance to get a little boost here before getting back into Big 12 play coming up this weekend. Masters on your mind, we'd love to hear from you. And then, Rob, your Texas Rangers yesterday get the fairly easy victory over the Cubs, now up to 5-4. I did notice last night, looking at the standings in the AL West, when it comes to run differential, no division is better in Major League Baseball right now than the AL West. Every team but the A's are in plus run differential territory. That includes even the Astros, who are at plus 3 in run differential, sitting there at 4-6. The A's are a staggering minus 45.
Wow.
In run differential. We've played a week and a whatever. I mean, are we seriously on auto fade on the A's already at this point? 100 loss futures, get them while you can. That's just insane. Knew they weren't going to be very good, but yet there they are. But yeah, Rangers hanging in there, doing stuff. Just keep on clicking off a few wins here. Texters are on the text line, 806-855-3712. That's 806-855-3712 for you to join in. Favorite non-sports Tech alum, celebs, and anything else. Texter says the most notable alumni. 1, Jerry Rawls. 2, Ed Whitaker. 3, Gordon Davis. 4, Chris Huckabee. 5, Terry Fuller. 6, Dustin Womble. 7, Cody Campbell. They all seem to have some few things in common there. I just noticed. They've got a few things in common.
Has anybody said the guy from CSI?
The guy, because that's his real name. The guy from CSI, who I don't know his name. There are several actors over the last 10, 15, 20 years that were like, oh, yeah, he's on such and such show. He went to Tech. And I'm like,
yeah.
Who?
That one guy from Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. Didn't he play somebody's dad on there?
Yeah, Buddy Garrity.
Buddy Garrity, yeah. The TV show I never watched. He didn't live here at all, does he?
I have no idea.
I don't know where he lives. Probably wherever the actors live.
Yeah, Buddy Garrity lives in Dillon.
Here you go. Same texter who asked the Gambling Gaucho how to explain their power rankings says, may I suggest looking at the standings when ranking the Big 12? Just a thought from some random dude.
Yeah, you can suggest whatever you want, but the fact that you are so upset by this that you've texted into a completely different show proves that the engagement is working and we'll continue to do what we're doing.
Ibid. I mean, if they're going to put it on a tee, sometimes you just got to take it out of the park. All right, so...
Is that a Tech fan upset that Tech's number 2?
I don't know.
They want us to miss the tournament like you're talking about?
Hey, I didn't say I want them to miss the tournament. I said they're in danger, perhaps this time next week, depending on what happens of looking at that. Don't conflate what I'm saying here. I'm not saying I want Tech to miss the tournament.
I said they.
All right.
Yeah.
Make sure on the right page there.
No. Like, what? Give your power rankings, Texter, if you want to text in a third time about our power rankings that have.
Do you think they got any
sleep? Even brought up on the show.
Do you think they got any sleep last night? Waiting until today where they could challenge you on the power ranking.
Do you also want another secret? I don't post those.
Were they AI generated?
No.
I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah.
806-855-3712. Okay. I hadn't planned on spending a whole lot of time on this. I didn't see this story until yesterday. Rob, you said you were able to mention this last week. CBSSports.com did a bid on recruiting budgets, and they went back over the last several years. I think it was about a four-year run, maybe five-year run that they looked at on all the Power 5 schools. What grabbed my attention was that it was focusing on the team that spent the absolute least in recruiting of all the Power 5 schools, and it's Oklahoma State. Very interesting that Oklahoma State was at the bottom in the 2022 go-around, $455,689 spent in recruiting on their budget. That compares to Texas Tech's in 22, $930,000. Georgia's at what, $2 million? Was it two or four? Hell.
Four and a half.
The thing that also jumped out on me on this is the rise for Texas Tech, the continued monetary commitment over the last couple of years, where you have gone from that budget in 2017 of $611,000 to now $930,000. That's a significant number. That if you look at Texas Tech now, and we talk about this all the time, you're not a poor school. You're not a have-not school. Here are a couple of schools that Texas Tech in 2022 spent more on recruiting, according to CBS Sports. Florida State, UCLA, Purdue, Wisconsin, LSU. Now, I'm intrigued on the LSU number on how they are accounting recruiting. You know? I'm kind of curious on it, but that's okay, because this is CBSSports.com. Allegedly, apparently, it's an apples-to-apples comparison, as best as we can probably get it. So my point in seeing that last night was, you're doing okay. Now, you can always do more, but I think most people would have thought, you know, well, Texas Tech probably down there at the bottom. I think Texas Tech was, what, third or fourth in the league, and I think is now will be first or second with Texas and Oklahoma leaving, based on the latest charts, on the recruiting expenditures. That's a positive in my mind. Man, the next closest window, I think, like Oklahoma State was Arizona State at like $761,000. The Oklahoma State is just, what's going on there? Is it? I mean, when do we get to ask some more questions about? Because we've watched Gundy. I think there's something internally going on. But here you look at this, and they're not spending hardly anything on the recruiting budget. Is this a mirror of Gundy getting lazy? Of Gundy not fighting, of Gundy not wanting to do what it takes. If I were an Oklahoma State fan, after what you saw last year, and after more and more of what you've seen, I don't know. But that's what surprised me the most about it. One, that would be a Big 12 that would have the lowest amount of expenditure in 22. And also just you've got to really like the jump that you've had at Texas Tech and the continued commitment to doing that. And I hope it's $1.5 million next year. I hope they go out and spend another $600,000 this year on the recruiting. Texter wants to know any positive news from the basketball team the last few days. What you got? We hadn't talked about that. You had a couple of assistants announced over the weekend. Let's see. We had on Friday Moikobu. That was announcement on Friday, right? So we had that one coming in. And then Matt, and I believe it's Brower. I think it's pronounced Brower correctly, is being brought in as well off that North Texas staff. So you get a few of those. Ben McCollum is the name everybody's waiting on. We have said repeatedly that a lot of the McCaslin success in the hire is going to depend on what the initial staff looks like. All right, Rob, you made the great point through all of this. For those that were saying, oh, this is a Matt Wells hire, said it's only a Matt Wells hire if Grant Wells hires a Matt Wells staff. Are we seeing that right now?
Grant McCaslin.
Grant McCaslin. We've got too many Wells and McCaslin. And it's not even McWells.
Yeah.
How can we have somebody that's not got an MC in front of their name or something?
Well, I couldn't tell if you were just giving a jab. Or...
No, I was not giving a jab.
Okay.
Are we seeing a Matt Wells staff being put together so far? Are these guys he's comfortable with? Obviously, well, guys, I mean, he has a relationship
bringing,
he knows.
He's bringing two guys from North Texas, yeah. It's Matt Wells staff.
Yeah.
But it's only a Matt Wells staff when the strength and conditioning, the director
whole,
of recruiting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're about 10 guys away from a Matt Wells staff.
Yeah. Or in basketball, another 18. I lose track of how many assistants you can have.
Right.
You know? 806-855-3712. Most notable alum, Johnny Hardwick, otherwise known as the voice of Dale Gribble on King of the Hill. Hank. I was slipping through yesterday at some point. It was the one where Bill decided he had diabetes.
Ah, of course.
Couldn't watch very much of it. It's painful to see him, you know, just like that, needing the help. Pretty tough. Texter, football recruiting only? All sports? Yeah, that is football recruiting only, the numbers we were just giving you on the breakdown there. 806-855-3712 for you to get in. Give us your favorite non-tech sports alums and celebs. What do you believe to be true to start the week? We need more Raiderland helmet stickers handed out as we go through the day. 806-855-3712. It's a quick timeout. We got you till 1 o'clock. Then it is the Rob Bro Show from 1 to 2 here on Talk 103.9 FM. Take the break. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Club 21, you got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro taking you till 1 o'clock. Then it is the Rob Bro Show on Talk 103.9 FM, News Money Sports. Question of the day, your favorite non-sports Texas Tech alums, celebrities, your favorite ones of the non-sports world. What do you believe to be true to start the week? You tell us every Monday things you believe to be true. And then Raiderland helmet stickers, who deserves a little recognition for their efforts over the weekend? Tech baseball at Stanford tonight. I got a chance to pick up some in the RPI if they can get some victories against the 8th-ranked Cardinal. And then the Masters finishing up yesterday. Yeah, nobody knew. Hey, Rob, did you know the Masters finished up yesterday?
I heard.
John Rahm has a cool green jacket. And then it was, what, 40 years, 30 years? 30 years after Seve, I believe. No, it's got to be 40 years after Seve won. Either way, Rahm channeled a little bit of that Seve with the celebration on the green with the double fist pump there. It was pretty cool to see. All of that on the table for you. Anything else you want to discuss today, that's cool. 806-855-3712. Texter, going back to what we were talking about, the budgets. Who is ahead of Tech not named UT or OU on the recruiting budget in the conference? That would be West Virginia. They were slightly ahead of Tech on that list. Under a million as well. Tech was at 900,000. I think they were at 970,000 on the 2022 recruiting. So, I mean, you are... right there on the top of the current Big 12 schools. And I believe Texas Tech, I'll have to double-check this, was ahead of the reporting schools. I don't think BYU is available in the report, so of the new ones coming in. And it makes sense that West Virginia's budget would be like that because they got to go all over to try to find players. They have to recruit Texas. They have to recruit anywhere and everywhere they can to find. There's just not a whole lot of players lying around in that part of the world that are going to be able to get you where you need to get. Texters are asking questions of Rob today, apparently. Dear bro, how are you? I am fine.
I'm fine.
Yeah. Brad Leland was born in Lubbock and graduated from Plano Senior High. In 1971, Plano took state, winning the 3A title. This was long before 25 teams from your district got into the playoffs. I guess they just wanted you to know that.
That's a bit the Texter does. He does it every day. I don't know if you've noticed.
Not on my show, or our show.
He does it quite a bit on this one.
Yeah?
Yep.
About?
The whole first sentence is a bit he does.
Oh, no, but I'm talking about the Brad Leland thing.
Oh, I have no idea what that... Oh, Brad Leland is Buddy Garrity.
Oh, is Brad Leland the... Oh, Buddy Garrity's the character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, see, that's how non-Friday Night Lights watching the show I am.
I couldn't have said his name until I heard it.
Yeah, I mean, you could have... Yeah, I thought Buddy Garrity was the actor. I'm like, I don't remember a Buddy Garrity going to Texas Tech. But that's good on him. So he was from Plano. All right, good for him. Back when Plano was a itty-bitty small school. And now I know more about Mr. Leland than I ever really realized I would know. That's the great thing about doing this show someday. The Texers take you along for a ride. You find out things you didn't know. Non-sports Texas Tech alums, celebs, your favorite one. Can I not get one for G.W. Bailey? He was in the Police Academy movies. He had a couple of guest appearances on MASH as Sergeant Rizzo. He denies the stories of him and Barry Corbin during their somewhat brief time at Texas Tech of ever sleeping in a dumpster. That never happened.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Can we not get a love for Sergeant Rizzo running the motor pool for the 4077? 806-855-3712. It is Helmet Sticker Day. Plainsman in Dallas says, speaking of deputies, emeritus helmet stickers to great deputies from long ago, Barney Fife, Chester on Gunsmoke, and Walter Brennan is Stumpy in the movie Rio Bravo. Suddenly it's turning into an early Rob Rowe Power Rank Thursday on all sorts of things. Texter says, I'm willing to give these guys the benefit of the doubt on being able to coach, but having any of them shown the ability to recruit at a high level, we've got to have a recruiter to compete in the Big 12. Wrong.
They recruited Tyler Perry.
Well, but you got to have multiple recruiters to recruit in the Big 12, not just one. Yeah, they got Tyler Perry, who's a pretty darn good player. I mean, he's Big 12 caliber. We will see. We'll see what the staff ends up looking like. But, yeah, recruiting is the lifeblood of anything. And I would think that the committee, remember the committee that we all loved? I'm thinking somebody probably asked, who are your recruiters going to be? Can they recruit? Who are your guys going to be that are going to go out and get the dudes? Have they done it before? Do they have some skins on the wall? What do we have? This is not on-the-job training in the Big 12 anymore. So until the staff is completely rounded out, I will, and as well as everybody, should probably reserve judgment on what they're capable of, what they're not capable of. Now, I will say this. Can they coach? I think that's empirically proven at this point with what we've seen with McCaslin's teams. And if what you watched, I mean, coaching is coaching at any level. Good coaching is good coaching at NAIA, Division III, Division II. Quality coaching is quality coaching. The dude's abilities may change.
Right.
But the ability to coach, the ability to get the player to do what you want them to do and how you want them to do it, smallest sample size that I saw this spring with North Texas, that's a well-coached team. That is a well-disciplined team. That is a well-fundamentally designed team that they took those dudes and they coached them. That's the least, I mean, I don't have any concerns about that at all. And I think you can find recruiters. Not all recruiters are created equal, but I think you can find recruiters. You know, either way, probably see over the next several days, few days. I would think the staff would probably be in place here. Certainly by the end of the month, I would think. And I wouldn't think it would take much longer to get people in that want to be in. Because, again, it's not like anybody that McCaslin is going to hire was caught off guard by any of this, that he could have and should have and did, I'm quite sure, start having discussions with guys that he was interested in bringing a month ago.
Right.
Literally a month ago. And coaches do that. Hey, if I get a chance, if I get an opening, if I get an opportunity to go someplace, would you be willing to move with me? Would you be willing to join my team? That guys like McCaslin, guys who are tracking to be, if they're already head coaches and they want to move up, if they're assistant coaches and they want to move up to a head coaching, and all of that, they know who they want to go with 9 times out of 10. Now, the difference is some guys have a very limited pool of guys that they could call. I give you Cliff Kingsbury. He had a real limited pool because of his short time in college coaching, even though he'd been around the game of football all of his life, it was completely different. He just didn't have a big Rolodex. That's a thing that has names on it for those who are of a certain age. Texter, three of the top five, and Rory didn't even make the cut at the Masters, and he is pulled out of this week's event as well. I don't know who had a worse weekend, Rory or Tiger. I wanted to give Tiger a helmet sticker just for being out there, because you know he had to be hurting tremendously to walk away from a Masters. That with what that means to him and everything that has gone on, that for him to have to say, I can't physically do this. Rob, there were shots of him on Saturday where it didn't even look like Tiger Woods. You could have told me it was some other golfer. 806-855-3712. Quick bottom of the hour break. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
Point nine.
12:35. Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Go until 1 o'clock for now in the Arctic Air Studios, ESPN 960 in San Angelo. Hi there to our friends in the Concho Valley. Also, Talk 103.9 FM News Money Sports in Lubbock. Question of the day, your favorite non-sports tech alums and celebrities. We had a Texas Tech cheerleader go viral from the Masters yesterday there with her dad, Aaliyah Kikumoto. He had his Tech Palm Squad hat on, or Tech Cheer hat on, and that was what I noticed. And then everybody else knows, hey, there's an attractive young woman who's there behind the golfers. And it was at a moment in the tournament, couldn't have hit. I mean, you could have been standing anywhere all day long, and it wouldn't have mattered because it was the moment of delay thanks to Cantlay and just, oh. How many times? Victor Hovland walked off from Cantlay at least three different times. The last one was there on 16 where there's a great shot of Hovland pitching in off the side of the green, and Cantlay still making his way up the fairway to the green. That the pace of play yesterday, and I know it sounds like sour grapes coming from Koepka complaining about it because, well, he didn't win. But
that's got to throw you off.
But yeah, everybody else was in agreement. Cantlay was not a positive for the round. But that occurs right there, and the cameras are on that group waiting on the tee box, and was seen extensive time. So now she's famous. She's internet famous. Much like all of us, at some point you will be famous on the internet for at least 15 minutes or so. So favorite non-sports tech alums and celebrities, what do you believe to be true to start the week? We do that every Monday. Raiderland helmet stickers being handed out. Tech baseball tonight. Critical games today and tomorrow. If Texas Tech can get a couple of victories here, it certainly is going to change the tenor of things and gives you a chance to really do some damage for your RPI in a good way, as opposed to what occurred with a 17-spot drop over the weekend, going 2 of 3 against North Dakota State to a 68 now. Now, 806-855-3712. The texters are on the text line. Hyatt, first-time listener, long-time texter. Congratulations on turning morning into afternoon. Continuing the streak. I don't know if anybody has mentioned her, but Emily Jones is a great non-sports tech alum, and she also has good bits as a guest on The Ticket and The Freak, says Randy in Gunbarrel City. We love us some Emily, have for many, many years, and she's absolutely has become one of the more famous celebrities. I guess we say non-sports, obviously not an athlete, athletic, cheerleader at Plainview, but I tell you, the thing that's really cool with Emily, and I don't think she'd mind me saying this, she has really built a strong presence in the Metroplex with some other business ventures that she is involved in, another podcast that she has done. She's worked extensively with other women in sports broadcasting on different projects, worked with moms, you know, the working mom. I mean, she's, you know, all working moms are great. She just happens to be a working mom that ends up in Oakland and Seattle and Boston and places like that for a few days at a time. But I think she's done tremendous things. And I think the cool thing about her is that she is in there with the Rangers. that he's that the Rangers value her so much that, you know, her employment status is determined by the Texas Rangers,
right?
Not I almost said Fox Sports Southwest, not Bally Sports, not that that works that way, and that's a really big compliment, you know. Texter, will we ever know any of the names of the supposed Power Five head coaches Kirby said were interested in being our basketball coach? I would love to know one name. I don't know. Maybe. I guess if somebody at Tech on the committee decides to leak it out in some form or fashion and say, hey, we talked to this coach and they were kind of interested, but we didn't want them, that would be a real violation of professional courtesy if anybody at Texas Tech were the one doing that. Now, if another coach or entity wanted to say, hey, we learned that somebody who covers X program, that our coach was really interested in the Tech job and didn't get it, that's one thing. But that if it were to come from anybody within the Tech athletic department, I'd be very disappointed in that, because that ain't cool. You know, you don't do that. You try to keep the names out of the public as much as possible on any of those people. Will you see rumors somewhere? Yeah. To that I will say, Rob, I would pose this question. What difference does it make now?
Right. You have a guy.
What difference on April 10th does it make in all reality, who may or may not have been interested, who may or may not have had a Zoom meeting? And I don't know, maybe it truly will to some, but to me it doesn't really matter, because more and more, I'm not saying that this was a done deal from the beginning, but I think McCaslin was incredibly high on the list from the very beginning. Was, I think, high on a list 2 years ago when you ended up hiring Mark Adams. It was probably right at the head of the class when this thing started. And it may have been Texas Tech looking from a standpoint of, are we going to be able to talk to anybody that we think is going to be better than McCaslin? Is there anybody that we're going to visit with that's going to blow us away to the point that we think we would move away from McCaslin at this time as our top candidate? That we've identified this guy, we think he's a right fit, we think he's right for the university, we think he's right to fit in and do what we want to do here, culturally and otherwise. But to that end, I mean, again, I'll kind of ask the texter, okay, let's say a name comes out, and I want to make sure I read this the right way they phrased it. The names of the supposed Power Five head coaches Kirby said were interested. Okay. What if Jerome Tang said he was interested and he's not the coach? How does that change things? What if, I don't know. Give me a Power Five head coach.
Eric Musselman.
Oh, yeah, the guy at Arkansas. What if you found out that Eric Musselman was interested? Well, what's interested? I mean, I've gone to a car lot a couple of times, and I was interested, right? I was interested in looking at the truck. I was interested, but I wasn't necessarily going to buy it. But I might have been interested for a couple of different reasons. Because then I go down the street to the next car lot and say, you know, I was just over there looking at a real similar truck. I like what I'm in right now. You see where I'm going with this.
I do know for a fact there was a sitting SEC coach that really wanted the job.
Yeah. wonder who that would be. How long have they been sitting in the SEC?
Well, they're sitting now.
Yeah.
Might not have been sitting at the time.
Yeah. Standing, waiting. So I guess at a certain point I reach some things and say, okay, well, then what does it really matter right now? And you may or may not hear some names. So there you go. 806-855-3712. Texter. Okay, so we're talking about favorite non-sports Tech alums and celebrities. And the guy who was on NCIS, he actually has his name. George, I don't even know how to pronounce the last name. Eads? Eads? E-A-D-S.
Eads.
Eads.
That's the CSI guy.
Yeah, that's CSI guy. I never can remember his name. I was on a flight with him one time, and I still can't remember his name.
Do you remember every other person you've been on a flight with?
No, only because I was told. That's a very famous Texas Tech alum.
Oh.
He's George something or another on the NCIS. You know?
CSI.
Whatever.
Wasn't he on the original CSI?
I don't know.
I guess I don't either. I never watched it.
And no, he played Nick Stokes on CSI.
There you go.
What is that? Crime Scene Investigators? Is that what that stands for?
Yes.
I mean, there is a wealth of shows that I have never watched an episode of. Anything that ends in CSI, SUV, or is it SVU? Pardon me, it's SVU, Special Victims Unit. Any of those shows, never seen a full episode. What was the... it has a sound effect where it goes, dong, dong. What was that one? It's like a law...
Law and Order?
Law and Order, maybe? Maybe Law and Order?
Yeah.
Never.
Well, SVU is another Law and Order.
There's like
Law and Order SVU.
Aren't they all intertwined? I mean, I've never seen any of them. I'm glad to know that George Eads is actually the guy's name, and he doesn't legally go by that guy from Tech on the Crime Scene show. You got to be a bigger celebrity. I mean, people know Barry Corbin's name. You got to, you know, they remember Barry Corbin's name. You got to be a bigger celebrity than that.
What's the guy from Police Academy?
Oh, G.W. Bailey.
There's another one?
Yeah. That's big-time stuff right there. If you're in something that has more than, like, two movies made, I think during the course of the run or anything, because what did they get up to, like, Police Academy 8 or 9 or... I don't know that they hit double digits. What are there more of, Rockies or Police Academies?
I think there are more Rockies.
Probably.
You count Creed?
Yeah, it's all off the same...
Then definitely Rocky.
You know. You get into that. But G.W. Bailey was never in any of the Rocky movies, so I guess we downplay him for that. 806-855-3712. What do you believe to be true to start the week? We're handing out Raiderland helmet stickers today. Who deserves your helmet sticker? Also, much Masters discussion. Rangers winners yesterday. They're percolating along, doing what they need to do. And there's nothing really interesting on the Pac-12 today, although I do think this is going to be a little interesting week. If nothing else, I was told, I believe I read this right, that the Arizona State president is back in the country now. And it seems like lately when news has come out, Dr. Robbins, president of Arizona, has been forefront on it. So I'd imagine everybody out there is waiting for him to get back so they can start quizzing him and finding out that he was one of the big ones on the timeline, the mid-April timeline that now they are having to reframe, as I think it was Canzano said. They're reframing exactly what that means and why it's great that the Pac-12 won't get a deal done with Ion TV until sometime in July or August. Our final segment of the day gives you a chance to jam up the text line. Let's see what you got for us here in the waning moments of the day. 806-855-3712. As always, use the 806 so it doesn't go to the angry man in Florida. 855-3712. We'll take a quick time out. We'll finish up strong together. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Final segment of the day, Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro here in the Arctic Air Studios. Got you till 1 o'clock on ESPN 960 San Angelo. Then, at 1 o'clock right here on Talk 103.9 FM, the Rob Bro Show. Overreaction Monday. I may get accused of an overreaction regarding Tech baseball. And I won't be in a position to defend myself, so you guys stick up for me. Tech baseball tonight at Stanford. What do you believe this week? We ask you every Monday, what do you believe to be true to start the week? You still got time to hand out some Raiderland helmet stickers, and we are talking favorite non-sports Texas Tech alums and celebrities. Masters on your mind? That's awesome as well. 806-855-3712. Texter on the text line, where the cool texters are. Says, watching Koepka and Rahm playing with the amateur Bennett round three was comical as well. Bennett takes forever with his pre-hitting waggle routine. Can see Koepka getting infuriated with that. Yeah, but hats off to Bennett, man. He had him a weekend, and it was always important for Mr. Jones to celebrate the amateur at Augusta National and the fine tradition of Bobby Jones' own career. I don't know how early they issue them. Rob, the day they have futures for next year's Masters and the name Åberg is on there for top 20, I'm hammering it. 100%. Whatever I can get, wherever he is listed, you know, the day those come out, I will be on that. Text in Scott Pelley. Well, since it would be on favorite non-sports tech alums and celebs, it wouldn't be mine. Scott Pelley? That's probably how he'd run Burgundy the thing. Can't we consider Meatloaf an alumni much better fit than at LCU? No, absolutely not. He completely belongs to LCC, LCU. Mr. Aday is 100% LCU. And with a fine singing voice like that, Rob, help me out. I'm gonna mess this up. The big musical production that LCU put, Master Follies? Master Follies.
I don't think he was in it, though.
He wasn't, but he could have been in. And imagine if you had him.
Could have been a host.
As you're part of the Master Follies.
Yeah.
I don't know, did the old LCU, LCC ever really fully embrace the Meatloaf connection?
No.
They never really brought him back. Let's see.
I don't know, was he there a full semester?
Oh, he was there like 6 weeks.
Yeah. Did he streak across the stage and was gone?
Driving a cab at the time.
Kept running.
Yeah. Texter, another Fidel to the gut into acting like George Eads. I didn't know he was Fidel. Colby Donaldson, bro, right, might remember him from CBS Survivor.
No, I don't watch that.
I kind of remember the name. Texter says, let's go worst case scenario. In 2 years, do we call that SEC coach you were talking about?
No.
Nope. Yeah, I agree. Ain't going to happen. 806-855-3712 for you to join the conversation if you so choose on a what is turning into really a gorgeous, gorgeous Monday. I know. I feel for you people in town who got the hell, but for everybody else who got the good rain, I wish we'd been a part of that last night. We'll get ours soon. But, boy, it's just nice to see it. It was nice to smell it.
It wasn't I don't think anybody should have gotten hail damage.
Yeah.
I don't think it was that kind of hail. It's pretty soft.
It was just great to smell rain.
It dumped, too.
Yeah. It was amazing. You go about 5 miles, a couple directions from our place, and, 1.89 inches falling. Not a drop on ours, but that means, hey, the weather pattern's shifting. We're getting back there. Saw this morning, shout out Joe Bastardi, one of the great meteorologists out there. The El Nino is trending very strong. In fact, it is starting to set up like 2015. And for those of you who know your weather data, 2015 was a very nice year. One of the rainiest Mays. I think it was the sixth rainiest May in recorded history for West Tech, for the Lubbock area. And you had about 29 inches of rainfall, about 12 inches or so more than normal. So here is to El Nino, helmet sticker, rain, helmet sticker for, I think, hopefully, it's not too late, trending in a really good direction for our ag producers and our farmers and ranchers around here.
You know what El Nino means in English?
A little
the more. Nino.
The Nino. Thank you. You'll be here all week. The Nino.
See if anybody
it's
knows
German,
that.
I believe. Quote. Is it German or Spanish?
Spanish.
Oh, it is Spanish.
If anybody knows, that's a quote from something.
Yeah, like a movie type quote?
SNL.
Ah, how far back?
90s.
Really?
It's Farley.
Oh, man, I should have got that one. Which character?
I think it's on an update spot.
Oh, okay. Man, I missed that dude.
Yeah.
What could have been would have been very good. I'm looking to see if there was anything else that we really didn't get into today on the program that was moderately of interest. Maybe tomorrow, even a little bit more Texas Rangers. I'm really enjoying what I am getting to watch when I am getting to watch this team. This is going to be an okay baseball team. I mean, it's always – I know it's early, but right now, as constructed, watching them go through this rotation at this point – you can always be better, right? I get that. But there aren't any, like, major glaring things that you go, oh, this is why this team can't win 82, 83, 84 games. And they're playing fun baseball. And by that I mean it's compelling to watch. They're giving you some good games. What was the Friday score? Now I'm going to butcher. I'm going to get wrong. Anyways, even in the loss, you're still going, okay, this is a team worth paying attention to. And part of it may be that for the first time, I feel like you've got a manager that I feel like really knows what is going on, that is actually aware of what's taking place in the game. It's a nice change of pace. All right, Overreaction Monday is coming up. You guys get ready to overreact to everything that is taking place over the weekend, and including the last 120 minutes or so. 806-855-3712 to text in on that. Big two-word Tuesday tonight. Going to go live. Follow me on Twitter, at Ryan Hyatt Media, around 6:30. I believe we're going to try out a YouTube platform tonight, so hang with me on that. I'll update you, but you got to follow on Twitter, at Ryan Hyatt Media, not to miss out. For Rob, I'm Ryan. We'll see everybody Tuesday in Raiderland.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, a presentation of the Texas Town Square Media Network.